Well, thank you very much indeed, Bunty, for that lovely talk. As I was sitting here listening to it, I was thinking, well, there's the Buddha jewel and there's the Dharma jewel, but where is the Sangha jewel in this? And as I was thinking of it, I was looking around me at all of us gathered here and thinking, well, it's pretty clear, isn't it? The Sangha jewel is right here, right now, in many ways. And, well, we are the Sangha here. We're part of the Sangha, part of the great Buddhist Sangha, and part of the Sangha of the FWBO and the Sangha of the Western Buddhist Order, Tridokabada Mahasangha. And we're a Sangha that's come together out of your work, Bunty. And so Bunty was really speaking to us, speaking to his own Sangha. So all three jewels were present there in that talk, and thank you very much for the hook at the end of the talk. So it is my very pleasant duty tonight to launch the book, What is the Sangha? The Nature of Spiritual Community, which is the very latest of the Spoken Word Project books. And it's very appropriate, isn't it, that What is the Sangha is written by Sangharakshita. Sangharakshita. As Vidya Devi points out in her introduction to this book, there's something particularly fortuitous about the way Bunty was named. You may remember the story. Bunty recounts it in The Rainbow Road. It took place at Kusinara, one of the Buddhist holy places, at the time of his ordination. His preceptor, Uchandramani, had overlooked the fact that he already had a disciple called Dharmarakshita. And when he ordained Bunty and his friend Buddharakshita, he gave them the names Buddharakshita and Dharmarakshita. But there already was a Dharmarakshita. And he was there in Kusinara. So, as Bunty says in The Rainbow Road, this disciple was even now in Kusinara, having arrived shortly before our ordination. On hearing that I'd been given the same name as himself, he came rushing over to the chapter house. If there were two Dharmarakshitas, he protested, there would be endless confusion. People would not know which was which. My letters would be delivered to him. What was worse, his letters would be delivered to me. Neither of us would know where we were. Oh well, said our preceptor, dismissing all this fuss and bother about names with a gesture of good-humoured impatience, let him be Sangharakshita. So just like that. Now I think that actually the gods were looking down on this ordination and thought, uh-oh, he's made a bit of a mistake there. This one really is Sangharakshita, and they organised it to be that way. Because Bunty has come in so many different ways to specialise in the practice of Sangha in all its dimensions. He's founded the order, the Western Buddhist order, Trilokyabada Mahasangha, which is, if nothing else, a network of spiritual friends. Not only has he founded the order, which is a network of spiritual friends, but he himself has been such a friend to the order. In his book, My Relation to the Order, he says this, I would preferably not apply the word guru to myself, nor have it applied to me by others. We have in Buddhism the wonderful term spiritual friend, and this I am more than content to apply to myself and to have applied to me by others. Indeed, there are times when I think spiritual friend is almost too much, and that just friend would be enough. The English word spiritual is in any case not the exact equivalent of the Indian word kalyana. According to the PTS, Pali English Dictionary, kalyana means beautiful, charming, auspicious, helpful, morally good. Obviously, he says, I cannot claim to be beautiful, at least not in the literal sense, and I can hardly be described as charming. Well, I don't know about that, although I may be auspicious and helpful on occasion, and morally good to some extent. Let me therefore be content with the appellation friend and stand to the order simply in the relation of friend. Cervantes has founded the order, a network of friendships, and he stands as a friend in relationship to that order. He's also founded the FWBO, the Friends of the Western Buddhist Order. And it's Bhante's peculiar emphasis on the practice of Sangha that is one of the things that makes the FWBO so different from many of the other Buddhist groups one finds in the West today. There are very, very few other Buddhist groups where the practice of Sangha is so strongly emphasized as it is amongst us. I think we can sometimes take this fact somewhat for granted. I don't know how much we realize just how fortunate we are in the fact that we do practice in a spiritual community in which the practice of Sangha and the practice of friendship is so strongly emphasized. It's very, very rare indeed. And it's very, very necessary today in the West when we live in such a fragmented, alienated, split up and isolated culture. So Bhante, seeing that and seeing the importance and the nature of friendship and the spiritual significance of friendship, has founded a movement which has friendship, the practice especially of spiritual friendship, so much at its heart. Then, of course, he's given us the refuge tree of the Western Buddhist order. And here we find the Arya Sangha embodied. And in creating this refuge tree, this image of a refuge tree, and giving that to us as a gift, he's made a unique contribution to Western Buddhist history. He's created an image which draws together so many different strands of the Buddhist tradition. And that is, again, an important part of his legacy. He's placed this Arya Sangha, if you like, very firmly at the heart of his order. Then, of course, there's the practice of friendship itself. And Bhante has said so much and exemplified so much about friendship itself. There, he has a peculiar gift for friendship, I think. Those of us who know him will see this. We see it, I think, from his memoirs. If you read his memoirs, you see him speaking so warmly and affectionately of all the different friends that he makes over his life. And he's made so many different friends. And they're all so beautifully rendered in his memoirs. Of course, those of us who know him well will see his practice of friendship with some of the people that he's close to in the order. For example, Paramartha and Prasanasiddhi, members of the community at Madhyamaloka, and so many others. He takes his friendships very seriously. He's a very loyal, very warm, and very kind friend. And he's a friend to all of us in the FWBO. And then, of course, there is all of the study and teaching he's done on the subject of friendship. And here he's gone not just to Buddhist sources, but beyond them as well. He's looked at texts such as the Sufi master Al-Ghazali's The Duties of Brotherhood in Islam. He's looked at two poems by Dr. Johnson, an ode on friendship, and on the death of Dr. Levitt. And he's led seminars on these as well. And all of that brings us to the current book. Because the book explores all the various different relationships from so many different angles between those who have made significant spiritual progress, who have become, in Sangharakshita's terms, true individuals, and those for whom that is still a matter of aspiration. And these are really key relationships, and they go very much to the heart of the question, what is the Sangha? So in the book, we have chapters such as on individuality. What is individuality? So there's a chapter called Individuality, the Essence of Sangha. There's a chapter called The Group and the Spiritual Community, which examines that relationship in some detail. A chapter called The Positive Group and the New Society, and The Artist as the True Individual. These are just some of the chapters in the first two parts of the book. In the third part of the book, Bhante investigates six kinds of relationships about which the Buddha himself gave guidelines. Relationships of parents and children, relationships between friends, relationships between spouses, between employers and employees, monastics and lay people, and finally teachers and disciples. And finally, there are chapters on the role of gratitude in the life of a Buddhist and the way in which Sangha can have a positive influence on the rest of the world. So it's a book which is full of stories, of anecdotes, personal observations and teachings from the scriptures. Over dinner at Majjhima Loka, Bhante said that he thinks it's one of the most challenging books he's produced. And by that he didn't mean that he found it challenging to produce it. So from an author who's not exactly renowned for pulling his punches, what might he mean by saying that he thinks this book is particularly challenging? What might he mean by that? Well, you'll have to buy it and find out. It is, after all, only £9.99. And it's produced with all the flair and thoroughness that Windhorse Publications brings to this sort of thing. So do buy the book. But tonight, I want to talk not about this book alone. I want to say just a little bit about the spoken word project as a whole. Because What is the Sangha is just the latest of a whole range of books that have emerged from that spoken word project. There are others in the trilogy, for example. There's Who is the Buddha and What is the Dharma? They weave together from a number of Bhante's lectures and occasionally seminars material into a single, highly readable whole. The aim of the spoken word project is to take Bhante's spoken word, whether lectures or seminars, and create books from them that can be read by a much wider audience. At the same time, they try to keep something of the immediacy and style of Bhante's spoken teaching. Now, Bhante's spoken legacy is enormous. I've got some of it on a CD-ROM, well, actually, some of it now on my hard disk, and there's 220 megabytes, for those of you who know this sort of thing. And that amounts to a huge number of words. It's absolutely vast. It's an ocean of jewels. And I dip into this from time to time and come up with quite magnificent things that I can use in my own talks, writings, and teachings. This legacy, which is available in this form probably only to a few of us, needs to be much more widely made available. I mean, it's all very well for people like me to be able to dip into the hard disk and come up with these jewels, but really there's a hungry world out there which needs this stuff very, very badly. And the breadth of topics and texts explored by Bhante in his spoken teaching is vast. Many of these treasures have already appeared. We have the Wisdom Beyond Words book, the Drama of Cosmic Enlightenment, the Inconceivable Emancipation, and so on. But many more await treatment by the Spoken Word Project. There are seminars on the Bodhicharya Avatara. I'm really looking forward to that one day. The Songs of Milarepa, the Dhammapada, the Sigala Vardhasutta, and many, many, many dozens more. Now, making these books is very skilled and time-consuming work. For the past 10 years, two skilled editors, Vidya Devi and Jinananda, have been hard at work on it. Just this year, Prabodhana has taken over from Vidya Devi. These editors work together, drafting and redrafting, checking, before working with Bhante finally on making their final drafts. And this project now, I'm afraid to say, is currently in need of funding. It's part of Windhorse Publications and has been partly funded up to now by some generous donations that I'm afraid to say are now running out. So we need to launch an appeal for funds to keep this valuable work going and to get as much as possible done while Bhante is still able to be involved. The two editors who work in the project are, of course, over and above those you would normally find employed in any other publishing house. This is a unique project and it befits the unique teacher that we all have. But we do need help to fund it, and to keep these invaluable books appearing. Books like What is the Sangha? So do have a look at the flyer that's been handed out tonight. I look at it and see on it some of the details by which you may be able to help. And do buy yourself a copy of What is the Sangha? Maybe even get it signed. For less than the price of a blowout meal at K2 in Moseley Village, it's a great deal more nourishing.